Saturday, July 18, the year 2020. Yesterday, if it can even be called that, was too filled with uncertainty for me to put pen to paper. Today, however, I have somehow managed to gather enough of what remains of me to record some events which are no doubt important. At least, they are important here in this place, immune to the turmoil of the world that surrounds us, and yet somehow forged by it at the same time, a purified dose of the fear that seems more and more to guide every step taken by humanity. 2 days ago, Caden explained to me his absence through the wall. It seems that his initial testing had produced a positive result, so he was removed from his room and placed in a special isolation and medical surveillance unit located somewhere here on the property, although he couldn't be sure exactly where. They let a day pass and tested him again. A second chance, he thought, to either overturn a false positive or perhaps even to allow his robust immune system to purge the virus. But this was not to be the case. "Yeah, bro," he said with sorrow in his voice. "Second test came back positive too. I got the coro, so they're sending me home." "By what means?" I asked, curious about protocol in this exact situation. "They're flying me home," he answered, clearly more upset about missing the chance to perform here over the next 2 months than he was about the possible threat of contagion he represented to all the travelers he would no doubt contact over the course of his journey home. "They told me that's what they're going to do with any dude who tests positive, so good luck. I just want to say it was cool talking with you, and I'm sorry we never got to meet. I hope you kick some ass and make Final Three at least, bro. Maybe I'll see you at Stagecoach next year." "Yes, Stagecoach. Perhaps that magical event will offer us better circumstances," I said, genuinely hoping for that to be true. He knocked on the wall one last time, a powerful strike, solid and final, then said, "Peace." Indeed. I spent the rest of the day frantic, in a panicked haze, wondering what plans these producers had for our safety, if any at all. If they were putting people on planes with no regard for public safety, then I had to wonder, what chance did any of us have here, in this petri dish that now had a confirmed contaminant? I showered multiple times and washed my hands compulsively, fearing that some errant globule or droplet of vapor had passed through the ventilation system that connected my room to Caden's. My second test had not yet come back, and with my mind given no form of distraction, I set about convincing myself that I was harboring a growing infection. I drew the blinds and refused to open my door, even when I heard the knocks for lunch and dinner. I hung a damp towel over the air vents and put one at the bottom of the door. I had whipped myself into such a paranoid frenzy that I feared exposure to the virus from everything outside the room. The isolation and strict quarantine was meant to have kept us safe from the virus, but after obsessive pondering, I was convinced these efforts to seal off the outside world must have backfired, producing an environment perfectly designed to assure a 100% transmission rate for all of us. In my mind's eye, I saw the La Quinta Resort in a snow globe that had been violently shaken, and in the place of gently falling white snow were green spiky spheres of the COVID-19 virus. I imagined the headlines. Entire cast and crew dead. The combination of record-breaking desert heat and 30-to-1 group dating has caused the virus to mutate into an unstoppable plague. The epicenter is Palm Springs, but the new virus is 100 times more transmittable. The Bachelorette, it seems, will be the end of all humanity. All of this seemed not only plausible to me, but probable, certain, even. Just as I was embracing what I felt was the inevitable truth of the end of our species, I descended to the darkest place my mind has yet taken me. I thought, well, if we are all doomed, then I might as well eat something. Dinner, I knew, had been delivered only a few moments ago. So I cast out my fears of getting the virus, replacing them with the certainty that I already had it, and I opened my front door. There, on the ground, on a silver serving tray, was a plate of barbecued ribs. No side of bread, no side of vegetables. Simply the butchered bones of an animal who had a right to life, just as I did, just as any of us did, covered in corn syrup and some spices. Just as I was about to bring this plate of death into my room and consume it, I looked down the hallway and saw no one from either direction, and a thought emerged. Escape. Yes, freedom from this place might be as simple as just walking away. This would be my only opportunity until breakfast was delivered the following day, and if the virus was spreading amongst us, every moment mattered. It's true, I would miss the possibility of meeting Miss Crawley, but there was no guarantee she would avoid infection, or even death. I was convinced I had to flee. I took my first step outside the room into the hallway, and mustered the courage to take the next. But before my body could act on the impulse, the phone rang in my room. A dilemma I was not expecting. Anyone with any information at all could be on the other end of that line. And although I was poised to leave this place and this experience behind, as the ring grew louder in my mind, my curiosity won the best of me. I was still human, it seemed, after all. I crept back inside my cage and picked up the receiver. "Hello?" I said, and waited for what seemed like an eternity. "Charles." It was Sarah. I recognized the over-enthusiastic tone. "Good news," she said. "Your test came back negative. And even better news, we start shooting tomorrow."